Laura Conaway, who keeps our blog afloat with literally hundreds of posts a day, is here today. She is bringing us up to speed on our On the Blogs segment. I got the music right this time. You know why? Because I wasn't responsible to toss to it. They just fired it automatically. So here it is, with music and all, Laura Conaway on the blogs. What have you?
Good morning. One of the things we have is a little update on the MySpace suicide case. Mm-hmm. The lawyer for the woman who had some part in putting up the MySpace page that had the fake Josh Evans and wooed Meghan Meyer, who then killed herself, the lawyer finally got back to us. And there's not a whole lot to it, but I'm going to go ahead and put it up there just to get the other side. We've opened a contest to name NPR's pet bat.
Explain to people who are maybe just tuning into the podcast today, how did we come to have a pet bat, Laura?
Well, this guy named Bill Chappell in Washington, D.C., who works for NPR, noticed this little thing. It's the size of a walnut, hiding in a crevice of a building in Washington.
And right across from NPR, D.C., I recognize the building where it is, right on 7th Avenue there.
So he started blogging it, and then we took some video of it, and it's just now it's a world-famous bat. So we'd like you to name it.
It's kind of like our moment of zen from The Daily Show at the end, or like Sunday morning when they just have a beautiful piece of wildlife at the end. We have a bat, about 40 seconds of a cute bat
and
on our website.
He doesn't even, I don't know if it's a boy or girl, the bat barely moves in the video, and yet it is the most compelling thing I have ever seen. I've watched it now about 57 times and counting.
Someone called it a haiku to the bat.
Ooh.
That was pretty good. The big thing I have going on today, though, is Jill Homer, the Iditarod biker, checked in. She's the person up in Juneau, Alaska, who's planning to ride 350 miles on a mountain bike through the snow on the same trail that's used by the sled dogs. And I just finally thought, we'll ask her, well, how do you deal with this much snow? So she sent 10 top tips for biking in snow. And then I said, let's get real. So I called her and I said, Jill, how much snow is too much snow? What if you're on the race and you get 2 feet of snow?
You'd be pretty stuck. A couple feet, you wouldn't be able to ride a bike in that. So when things like that happen during the race, you usually get long periods where people are walking their bikes through the snow until a snowmobile goes through or different trail breakers go through and pack down the trail so they can ride.
So, I mean, this is an athlete. She says things like, I went for a longer ride than I expected, and then I went up a mountain. So I asked her, how many hours is she spending on the bike now?
It's up to about between 2 and 3 on weekdays. And then I'm trying to do at least one long ride every weekend that I'm increasing. Right now it's 8 hours for my long ride, and then that's going to keep going up a little bit.
I can't imagine her quads.
It's kind of nuts,
quads,
right?
Quads of steel.
Yeah, 8 hours and going up.
Quads of steel and tears of ice.
Right. The last time we talked to her, she admitted to feeling a little bit of nervousness. She'd been tossed around in her sleeping bag in her backyard trying to practice winter camping. So I checked in with her again about that, and it sounds like she's got the nerves under control. And then I asked, well, do you ever dream about the race?
I do. Actually had a dream last night that I fell through some ice. Oh. Just things like that I am fearful of, but learning about them helps me overcome that fear.
She's a better man than I am.
Ice road trucker, Jill Homer.
I think the blog is a little cathartic for her.
I'm
getting
totally
the sense
agree.
That she's able to verbalize some of her fears in a way that maybe she isn't comfortable with, the people who are helping her train or her boyfriend who's right in there with her.
Yeah, because we had this update from her a week ago where she was talking about how terrifying it was to get stuck in the snow with a busted tire, this and that. And then when she got on the show and she had been blogging about it, she already sounded like she was getting better, working past it, feeling stronger.
I think that conditioning herself to accept the fear and to keep going despite the fear is a big part of her training. Just learning to, what do you do when you're terrified? Keep going.
You turn to the Bryant Park Project blog is what you do. NPR.org/Bryant Park. Laura Conaway, our online editor, thank you so much.
Thank you.